Well, good morning, New Beginnings Community Church. My name is Brad Cooper. If you are a visitor here today, I am so glad you are here. We have just one simple request. There's a connection card in the chair pocket in front of you. Just take it out, fill it out. If it makes it in time for the basket, drop it in the offering plate. That'll be passed in just a few minutes. We are so grateful for your attendance, and we just want to take note of that. And then, of course, prayer requests. Please don't hesitate. Jot anything and everything down on this that you want, and we gather those and add them to the prayer journal. And then last but not least, we're going to take up this morning's tithes and offerings, and we have three ways to give here at New Beginnings. You can give online through our website, which we are continuing to update and work on, but the giving portal works fine. We use a service called PushPay, very secure. And you can set up your giving however much, how frequent, sky's the limit. So that's one way. Yeah, sky's the limit. Sky's the limit. The other way is the QR code back on the gray box attached to the sound booth or down the hallway. You can just take your smartphone and put it up there, and it'll bring you to that PushPay portal. And then the good old-fashioned way, the old envelope. So with that said, would the ushers come? And my brother, my partner in truth, Eric Indian, would you come on up and bless this morning's tithes and offerings?
Amen. We had cheerful givers. You know, just real quick, you know what? When I made a commitment to really obey God, one thing God dealt with my heart with was on tithing. And so I made a commitment that, God, I'm going to tithe my money. No matter what I got, I'm going to tithe it. And I'll never forget, like, I had one Sunday, I had like $80 to my, $90 to my name. That's all the money I had. And left over, and my tithe was $80. And I was like, man, God, what am I going to do? I got a bill due tomorrow, and I don't have the money. But you know what, God? I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust what you say in your word, that if I'm faithful in my tithes, that you will provide. You'll open the windows of heaven and pour a blessing on me. And I'll never forget, I put the money in my pocket, and I made a decision. I'm going to tithe my money. And I went to Bible study, and before I could leave Bible study, when I was walking out the door, somebody walked up to me and said, here, the Lord told me to give you this. And it was double of what I was going to tithe. Double. So before I could even give the tithe, God already doubled the tithe. Amen? Amen. God just wants to know, he wants our heart. He wants our heart. So let's pray. Father God, we thank you today, Lord God. We thank you just for what you do for us. We thank you for the abundance that you give us, Father God. Lord God, we thank you that you give us a seed to sow back to you, Lord God. And Father God, as we sow this seed back to you today, Lord God, I just pray that you bless this seed on fertile ground, Lord God. I thank you for this church. I thank you, Father God, that the tithe pays to keep this church going, Lord God. And Father, I thank you for that, Lord God. Lord, I know you bless a cheerful giver, so today I pray you help us be cheerful when we give. And we thank you for this, and the church agrees by saying, amen. Amen.
Thank you, brother. Church, it's good to see you all here. Well, I'm going to go ahead and jump right in. God gave me this message afresh about a week ago, and I have studied this portion of scripture that we're going to look at. I've preached it, but this is completely different from anything that I've ever pulled from this portion of scripture today. But before we go there, let me give you the title of today's message: Friction and Friends. Friction and Friends. Now, you might be thinking, well, I know where he's going with this. He likes to talk about relationships in the fall. He's going to talk about friendships and sometimes the inevitable, friction in friendships. Well, no, not so fast. I want to talk about friction, and we're going to look at some aspects of friction in this encounter of a man and Jesus and four of his friends, and of course the Pharisees and the onlookers. But I'm going to look at the friction that may not be so evident. And then we're going to talk at the very end about friends. If you get your Bibles, turn with me, Mark chapter 2. I'm going to read slowly, and it'll be up on the screen, 1 through 13. Mark chapter 2, 1 through 13. Very familiar portion of Scripture. Those of you that are watching The Chosen probably enjoyed seeing the theatrical representation of this scene. I took a quick glimpse of it. They do a good job of representing actually the cultural setting and some high probability when it comes to the structure of dwellings and how this man was dropped down through the roof. Let me read. Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door. And he preached the word, the Logos, to them. Some men came, bringing a paralyzed man, carried by four of them, four friends. Since they could not get to him, to Jesus, because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it and then lowering a mat that the man was laying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit, his pneuma, that this was what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to this paralyzed man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take your mat, and walk'? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for your holy word. It never ceases to amaze me how it will speak afresh to me each and every day and to the saints that follow you. Those people that read, God, you speak. You speak through your holy word, objective revelation and subjective revelation. And God, I pray that you would speak to us today. As we look at conflict and we look at friendships, God, I pray that you would transform our lives. God, give us hope and faith, a greater understanding, but not false expectation. We love you, Lord. Let my words be your words. In Christ's name, amen. Before we dive into this, let me just remind us of a definition, a workable in today's vernacular definition of friction. Friction, quite simply, is the action of one surface or an object rubbing against another. It can have destructive parts and natures to it. If you rub something fast enough, combustion can happen. Things can heat up. It can light a fire with friction. Or it can be helpful friction. When we walk, all of us experienced friction this morning to get here. Stopping a car. or keeping furniture in place. I'm not a physicist, but I know a little bit about friction. And it's needed and used and taken for granted of all over the place, all the time. Well, it's not just the physics about friction that we use in our everyday vernacular. It's also relational. Conflict or animosity caused by a clash of wills, temperaments, or opinions. And I think we're going to see both of those in this portion of Scripture. Let me unpack. When we approach this passage, the temptation is probably, if you're a steward of God's Word, if you're a studier of God's Word, the temptation is to go right to the theological. You're honing in on the divinity of Christ, His power over the natural to conduct a healing. We see the forgiveness of sins by His simple words. We also see the dialogue between the Pharisees and Jesus. We kind of look closely and say, why didn't these Pharisees get it? Why don't they identify Jesus as the Messiah spoken of, prophesied long ago? We kind of go right to the exchange. We go right to Jesus, and that's good. I like starting from there. But also, I think there's some things going on in this exchange, this scene that's being played out that's got a lot of friction points. It's got some friction embedded in it. It's got some things I think we can glean from this and apply it to our lives. Now, I don't want to get too cavalier. I don't want to over-contextualize this portion of Scripture. But like the rest of God's Word, there's all kinds of these nuggets, these circumstantial exchanges that I can identify and say, yeah, I can apply that to my life. That's truth there. Yeah. See, it's not just a theological book. These interactions, these encounters are not just bits and pieces of theology. It's the owner's manual of our life. And it's very intentional. It's very purposeful. See, the author doesn't make typos. Every word, every article, verb, adjective has purpose and perfection because the author is perfect and does nothing outside of perfection. That's the God we serve. So, going through this encounter, I want to look at four places. Everybody say four. Four places where friction occurs in this account. Now again, give me a little latitude here. Give me a little freedom. I'm going to reach out and stretch out. But just take what you will. The first friction I see is the paralytic himself. The paralyzed man. He's got a lot of friction in his life. He's got physical pain. He's got mobility issues. He probably has financial issues. People that were paralyzed had to beg. They couldn't go out and plow the back 40. They couldn't even ride a beast of burden. They had to beg. They had to rely upon others to meet their basic needs. Friction. I don't know what kind of paralysis he had, but I'm sure it was painful. I've been to the hospital many times and sat bedside of someone that's got bed sores because of immobility, pain, friction. Relational. This guy's got relational issues. Friction. Who's going to date this guy? He's damaged goods. He gets the swipe left. Everybody over 50 went, huh? He ain't a hot topic. He's got relational issues. The family members, the immediate family members are probably just tired of taking care of this guy. day in and day out, friction. He's a burden. And he's got mental friction. Because he probably has adopted the identity of his paralysis. His condition is his identity. He's got a lot of friction in his life. He's in need of Jesus. He's in need of some legs. He's in need of mobility. He's in need of being financially responsible for himself. He's in need of not waking up in pain or rolling over in his mat or his bed in pain. He's got a lot of friction and he wants to alleviate at least some of that friction to live out the rest of his life. Well, that's the first place I see friction. Is everything about this guy shouts, this is rubbing me the wrong way. It hurts. I've got an affliction. And in today's culture, it probably would very quickly lean over to an addiction. Because when you're experiencing friction, you want to fix. You want to alleviate the pain. How many times do we say, oh, that person rubs me the wrong way, or this rubs me the wrong way? Friction. We want to get out of that. We want to move ourselves to the place where we can get healed. So that's the first area, the paralytic. The second is his journey that day. The journey itself is loaded with friction. I just said we all used friction to get here. They had to carry this guy. They had to experience friction to get him to his Jesus. I remember when I was a little kid, still kind of learning the English language, got a new pair of sneakers. And I could feel on the bottom that they had a lot more grip than my other sneakers, my old sneakers. My new ones had grip. And then I also had heard this word traction. The gym teacher said I needed traction to take off and run the race. So I came up with my own word. Somebody once said it's a part of the mental evolutionary process is to create your own language. So guess what word I came up with? Dad, I love these new shoes. I've got gription. My dad loves to tell that story today. These guys experienced friction, natural friction. Well, good. I can only imagine what the dialogue was like leading up to scooping him up. Were some of them encouraging him and saying, this guy's got a reputation. I know where he's at. He's right down the road. There was probably an exchange, maybe a little bit of friction. I don't want to get my hopes up. I know what he did over here, but I look at me. I'm not worthy. Maybe these other people were worthy. I don't know. The hours before the journey to the house, there probably was friction. They get to the house. The crowds are blocking him. Friction. He can't get in. You ever go to a place and the crowds are so thick, you can't get to the show, or you can't get to where you want to be to see the concert, the fireworks, the restaurant, the line is out, the door. You ever go to Luby's and you got to wait in line? Friction. When we were up in, help me, where did we see the fireworks, July 4th? Iowa? Idaho. Gosh. I had some friction, y'all, on that trip. Flat tire, screaming kids. I mean, I digress. We know from the locals where the fireworks are going to be. And we come out of our hotel and we're walking around and we're like, where's going to be the best place to view fireworks? we got to get closer, and then some friction happens, and we get closer, and we're standing in the way. Remember this, Micah? We're standing in the way of people, and there's friction, and I'm like, well, aren't they up there? Do we need to get closer? I mean, are we looking for the lighter that he uses to launch it? I mean, come on. I mean, boom, beautiful. Boom. Is there a difference? Call me crazy. The crowds blocked him. The crowds. Keeping him from meeting Jesus. So they use friction again. They climb up on the roof. They remove some tiles. Friction. Making a hole. Now, this is not a B&E. That didn't go over very well. A breaking and entering. That's not, this ain't a B&E. There's a little cultural context here. Their roofs were designed to have a little access point in the front. The front of the roof. And you would lower a variety of things down through the roof. Large objects, things that may or may not fit through the door, sometimes for just pure ventilation or an interior fire. But one thing I was reading and I thought was very interesting, they also lowered the dead. On the heels of a loved one passing, they would lower the dead down through the roof. See, the door is sacred. It's got scripture on it. Also has stories of blood over the doorway. You didn't put a dead body through the door. No, you lowered it down through the roof. Stop for a minute. Look at the imagery there. A dead man. A man that needs life coming down through the roof. Friction, they removed the tiles. The crowds were blocking him. The ones that should be aiding and pastoring him are keeping him from Jesus. The Pharisees, the teachers, they're the ones we know that are up close and personal. They're taking the choice seats. Does religion ever keep you from seeing Jesus? Come on. Religious figures, teachers, leaders, do they ever prevent the common, the needy, the addicted, the afflicted, the paralyzed from getting to Jesus? I'm not indicting any ministry, any denomination, or anyone. It's just the nature of religion. The religious leaders, they were keeping the needy to getting to Jesus. A lot of friction on the journey. A lot of friction. The physical, dropping them down. And number three, so the paralytic himself, the journey of his day. The third area I see all kinds of friction. We're right back to the religious leaders. The teachers, the scribes, the Pharisees. In verse 6 it says this, now some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, why does this fellow talk like this? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God and God alone? Friction. There's this friction between the Messiah, the needy, and these guys, I'll say it again, that should have known better. See, they knew God's word. They knew all the messianic prophecies in Isaiah. There is over 500 messianic direct or indirect prophecies or foreshadowings in the Old Testament. And these guys spent their life studying it. And he is right in front of them, inches away, and they don't identify him as the Messiah. You say, why? I'll tell you why. Because they're losing control. He's attracting a crowd. He jeopardizes all kinds of things in their religious structures. He's drawing crowds. People are following. They're listening. They're hanging on to every word he says. They're losing control. You want to see conflict? You want to see friction? You start to take away someone's control or watch them lose control, and there's a whole lot of friction. A whole lot of friction. And who knows about the infighting between themselves? It's not there contextually, but I would say I've been in a lot of pastors' meetings and bishop meetings and superintendent meetings and have sat through votes and edicts and creeds and adjustments of statements of faith. And I know the leaders themselves are full of conflict. And we know church history. How many angels can dance on the head of a pin? That occupied hours. Am I right, Miss Weed? She knows the Bible. She knows church history. It's crazy. Conflict. A religious spirit. They're losing control. They are upset. And I guarantee you, it doesn't say it contextually. I guarantee it. Some were even plotting Jesus' death at this moment. They felt threatened. Friction. Friction. In number four, and this is where I confess I go out on a limb, just a little bit. Just allow me the freedom. Just allow me the, we call this in theological circles eisegesis. It's not exegesis. I'm not staying within the framework of the Greek and the context. So give me a pardon. But I know humanity. People are my business. Number four, I think the paralytic, when he got up, had a lot of friction in his life. Let me explain. Jesus gives him mobility and forgiveness of sins. Forgiveness of sins, salvation, and then mobility. The miracle undergirded his authority, the message. And there's a parallel throughout Scripture between the physical ailments and the spiritual ailments that we have. And Jesus uses his miracles to communicate the physical healing that oftentimes will mirror the spiritual healing. So that's taken place. But that is the beginning of his beginning. That's the new beginning that he has. See, he's got to get up and make a lot of adjustments. He probably owes some people, and now that he's got legs, he's expected to work. He's got to learn a trade. He's actually got to learn to get up and go do and come back and reap. Right? The friction is just beginning. And when we go from point A to point B, when we get our Jesus, when we get our miracle, that is oftentimes when life really begins. And it's not a bed of roses. I guarantee it. This guy didn't be like, whoa, and then says, he just went through life like this. I haven't done that in years. Thank you, Eric. I need to work on my gait. Okay. Just kidding. His life is beginning anew with legs and mobility. Can you imagine him saying to himself, I'm still that guy on the corner of 52nd Street begging for money. All my family or all my friends could be thinking, when's this going to go back to paralysis? When's he going to go back to his old ways? Come on. We get touched. We have an encounter from God. And people are like, oh, that's great. You found Jesus. You want to get out of prison. You found Jesus. You're in the trenches. You found Jesus. And church, it's not a bed of roses after we have an encounter with Jesus. We can be dusted off, healed up, and still struggle with all kinds of things. Friction. I love to romanticize the healings and the miracles of Jesus. I love it. I preach it. He's the provider. But the reality is, we're not perfect after the touch. We're not. We got to do life like everybody else. Did you notice that he says, get up, go home, and take your mat? He didn't say, get up and follow me. I'm going to immediately put you in the ranks of my followers. He says, get up, take that mat, as a reminder probably of where you came from. Go home, because you are now just beginning to start life afresh. And we'll get touches from God, and we get set on fire, and we have a great time at the altar, or we'll get our healing. But we got to go and start life afresh. So I see these four areas of friction. The paralytic. His journey that day, the teachers and the scribes, and then making an enormous assumption, but standing on probably pretty good footing, his future. But I don't want for us to leave without recognizing, I think, the cherry on top of this story, outside of the healing and his forgiveness of sins. See, coupled with the friction, these four areas of friction, he had four friends. He had four really good friends that overcame friction in their minds that day, carrying him to get him to the foot of Jesus. We all need good friends. It's the body of Christ. We need people. We need people to help us. When friction comes, grab a friend. Let them do the heavy lifting. Let them carry you. Let them carry you right to the feet of Jesus. You can't overestimate. What does that mean? Friends, really good friends. They're priceless. And oftentimes they're closer than family. When you're paralyzed with something, go to a friend. When you're struggling with your identity, you want to go somewhere, call a friend. A friend. He had four that somehow he convinced, or they convinced him, to do this dance that day. And it was a winner. Winner, winner. Love you guys. Look at that, George. I got 2 minutes left. Church, where are you? Friction. Immobility. Wanting to get to the feet of Jesus. Friends, no friends. Friction, no friction. Each and every one of you came in this morning probably experiencing friction. But you also came in this morning knowing you have somebody to lean on. You have friends. Let your friends do the heavy lifting. The hairy stuff. But know that they can only bring you from point A to point B. But when you get to B, that's where the healing begins. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for this account. God, thank you for the forgiveness of sins. Thank you for friends. God, thank you, Lord, for healing touches. God, thank you for miracles. God, thank you for giving us mobility. God, thank you for giving us the ability to go from point A to point B. And God, I know that oftentimes in church, everything is met with rose-colored glasses. There's high expectations. And when we're in the trenches and we don't follow through, we're feeling paralyzed again. But God, you're a God that does miracles each and every day. And you use the body of Christ. You use our friends. You allow us to help one another. You allow us to be in community. And God, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, for that. God, I pray that as we venture out, as we leave here, that we would think about friends. We would think about going to the feet of Jesus. That we would overcome friction or allow friction to get us to point B. God, we love you. We praise you. We thank you, Lord. You're a good, good Father. And we put our faith and our hope and our trust in you and you alone. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.